everybody, and welcome back to the In Their Own League podcast. It's me, Bea, and joining me is Rosa. She's managed to find her way back from Sundance. How are you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing great. I could not think of a better way to debut in the podcast of the league than this way, than talking about Sundance. So thank you very much.
I'm so excited that this was your first time going to Sundance, which is for people who don't know what we're talking about. Sundance is a film festival. Do you want to sort of give us a sort of brief, I suppose we'll go into it in a bit more depth in a little while, but do you want to sort of just give us sort of your brief rundown of the festival and how you found it?
Yes. Well, in the film community within itself, Sundance Festival is one of the most important film festivals out there. And just getting started as a film critic, film reviewer, I thought that the best way to be a reviewer and to network and such is to attend one of these festivals. So I thought that the best way to debuted in a festival is, I guess, through Sundance, and I didn't make it easier on myself, so I decided to go ahead, apply for it. I had nothing to lose, and I was surprised when they when I was approved with press credentials to represent the league, and I just could not be more excited to have attended the Sundance. It was an experience I will never forget. Thanks, of course, thanks to two of our guests that we have on the podcast for today. But in general, it was an experience that is just an unforgettable experience.
Well, you've just mentioned that we have two guests joining us today, which you have you kidnapped them from Sundance and brought them back with you?
Yes, that's the plan. They forced them to be my friends for those 10 days. And we have William from Film Snob Reviews.
She says kidnap, but honestly, like, we would probably be her friend anyway.
And we also have Shay, who also works for the same site as William.
Hi. Thank you guys for having me. Super excited.
Is there a message you want to say to your families who are listening to this? Do you want to just tell them that you're okay and that Rose is treating you well?
I like it way better. I
want her to. Yeah, no. She's tied us up. Please help. Send help. Please.
She's clean. You know, I don't have to put any effort into anything. I love it. Great. Great lifestyle.
So Rosa, obviously you sound like you had a whale of a time. Do you want to sort of talk to us about, I mean, you were there for 10 days. That must, like, you must have seen so many films during that period.
Yes, I did. My final count was 20 films.
Wow.
For a first timer, it's not bad from what I hear. But yes, I had a blast. It was amazing. Overall, it was just a great experience. Of course, I did not watch nearly as many as our two guests. But you know what? The movies I watched, they were very, very great. They were very good. And some films I just can't stop raving about. So.
And as like a first time sort of attendee of the festival, what's your sort of initial reaction to arriving?
Well, I am extremely spoiled in Los Angeles, California, so the weather was not favorable to me. But yeah, my experience when I first got to the festival was, I was just blown away by everything. Aside, I know we go to watch these movies and to give our thoughts and such, but for me, the greater experience to me was the networking and getting to meet all these people like interact with on a daily basis on social media. A lot of these critics I admire, people that I just know, mainly from film Twitter, and just to be able to talk with them. And everywhere you go, no matter where you walk to, everybody everybody's talking about movies, and that is just an amazing experience. It's just, I loved it. I loved everything about it.
Okay. So my geography of America is not very great. So where is Sundance located? I am like, if you imagine, I imagine it must be somewhere north, because you said it was cold.
No. It takes place in a place called Park City, Utah. Utah is located in the western part of the United States.
Right.
It's actually the state that's in between myself and Rosa. It's right above California and right above Nevada, where we're from.
And I'm not, but it's in northern Utah. So it's like all the way up there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
It's snowing all the time. There's slush on the sidewalks. They do the whole thing where they take those bags of salt and they just throw them all over the place. Last year, it was actually pretty bad because of the black ice. And you could see people slipping and sliding all over the place.
Oh my gosh.
It literally looked like a Benny Hill sketch.
And a lot of places go downhill, so it's a little treacherous.
It sounds like you must have to pack like sensibly. I mean, did you I don't know, do you have to take like extra layers with you
So what you got to understand is myself and Shay live in the desert.
Oh, right.
So we have the exact opposite climate to this. So, yeah, I think I had to pack, like, an extra sweatshirt and, like, extra socks. And what about you, Shay?
I had two very heavy coats. And then even then, I would layer under them. So I would wear, like, a sweater or a jacket. And then I also had my my Skechers. So these no-slip shoes, which didn't end up working. Will can testify. I ended up falling on my hands and knees on the asphalt. That was fun.
True story.
Yeah.
True story. I had like the biggest jacket on me. I could like, if there were strong winds, I could probably float away with it. It was just a big jacket and several layers underneath.
I saw your photos and you did look you're very cozy and quite cute with your like little hood up and everything. I was like, I don't know whether you lot know, but has it ever been cancelled because of the snow or are they sort of no? Oh, okay.
Don't care.
They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing up there in Utah. It's this treacherous most of the time during the winter, so they kind of just expect it. And the fact that it's a ski resort, that town is also a ski resort, means they're more than prepared for this sort of weather.
Oh, that's good. I was about to say, I feel like, I mean, imagine going all the way there to find it's cancelled. You would just be so annoyed. So, Rosa, you of 20 films, you say you saw.
20.
I mean, who here is going to top that? I mean, who saw the most?
Not me.
Probably Shay. Shay.
Yeah, because this year we got the general passes, which is a step up for the press and industry. Last year we had what Rosa has, which is a working pass. So this year we're trying to work up to the express pass. So you don't need any tickets. You don't need to buy anything having to do with movies or events or anything. You can just go wherever you want to. So in order to do that, apparently you have to cover at least 25 pieces, I think. Right, Will?
Yeah, I think we don't know the exact quota, nor the exact science of it. but it is you have to do a lot of work to get that express pass. And for everybody that's not acclimated, Sundance Film Festival is perhaps the largest film festival on the calendar, and it's the tone setter for the entire year. Many of the films here are probably going to do well at other film festivals, including South by Southwest, Toronto International Film Festival, and some won't even come out till closer to this time next year. It's just one of those things. In fact, The Lodge, which opens this week, debuted at last year's Sundance. That's just how far out some of these films are going to expand.
And you can try as hard as you can, but I think it's pretty physically impossible to see every single event film, short, whatever, at Sundance.
We saw someone trying.
Yeah. We did.
I mean, what's the sort of record amount for, you know, of films watched in one day?
Ooh. So we, I don't know if you guys know Matt Neglia.
Yeah.
we all do. Next
time. Rest in peace, Matt Neglia. But he would see, like, what, 6 films a day? He would get up at the crack of dawn, and then he would stay late to see all the midnights. And he would do this every single day. He saw a lot more movies than he did, maybe combined.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
I think we got him beat by a couple combined, but yeah, this is just one man's mission to basically kill himself on a mountain.
You can see him slowly, like, wasting away.
I feel like after a while, eventually all the films would just merge into one, and you would just kind of forget which film was which, and you start getting confused about the plots of films. I don't know. That kind of happened to me when I went to Edinburgh and I watched 6 films in one day, and I was like, no, that's it. Never again.
That does happen. Like, you're standing in these long wait lines, and you're doing whatever. You're on your phone. You're trying to get work done, and then it's suddenly occurs to you, you're like, I don't even remember what film I'm here for. Like, it's about to show in 30 minutes, and I'm asking the people behind me, I'm like, what movie is this again?
You're just in a random line. Sometimes the best way of watching a film is sort of going in without any knowledge, and then just you might find something really sort of magical that you're like, wow, I'm so glad that I just joined this random queue.
Well, that's actually a secret I would give anybody going to this sort of thing. Don't read any of the synopses of what's going on. Just kind of look at the photo, figure out if it makes sense for you. And sometimes you can read the little synopses because they're very vague, but I would recommend going in completely blind, because sometimes you're completely surprised about whatever it is that you're in the theater watching.
Wow. So, this is exciting. Let's get into it then. So, Rosa, what's the first film that you want to discuss on the podcast?
Yes. Okay. So for me, the first film I want to talk about, which would be my number 5, is Uncle Frank. It's a film starring Paul Bettany, and he is it takes place in the 1970s, early 1970s. And just to give a vague synopsis, I don't want to give too much away. Frank, he must face his family when they all find out that he is gay. But unfortunately, they find out in a very painful, unusual way. The movie for me had great performances. I may be going overboard by saying this, but perhaps Paul Bettany's best performance ever. Along with Sophia Lillie, she was also amazing in this film. It was funny, it was moving, it was very much memorable. A film that just recently got picked up by Amazon, so hopefully, I'm not sure when the release date is though, but it will be showing for wider audiences, and I do hope you guys get to watch it, because this is definitely one of my favorites from Sundance Film Festival.
It'll probably come out like in November, December. They're probably going to push Bettany for the award season.
You know what? I would not doubt that, because he's that damn good in this movie.
He's a very handsome.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. He is. I've been hearing that too, because we didn't see that one, but we had been hearing great things about Bettany's handsome performance.
It was like making people cry. We saw people coming out of the theater, and some of them approached us, and they were like, they had tears in their eyes. So definitely hype.
Yeah, I've just looked it up, and it's directed by Alan Ball.
Yes.
Who I believe wrote American Beauty.
That is accurate. Yes.
Yeah. So this is interesting. So it does sound good. I mean, Rosa, I don't want you to sort of spoil any films on here, but is there a sort of particular standout scene that really, you know?
Standout scene. No scenes. I would just say Paul Bettany's performance in general throughout the entire film is what I came away with. Yeah, it's It's a very great film, and his performance just elevates it to a whole new level.
Oh, it just sounds like a really interesting movie. I mean, the synopsis of it sounds like it says it's now I'm getting this from Letterboxd, so how reliable this synopsis is. It says it's a bit of a road movie. Is that like correct? That is a bit of a road movie where it says here in part road movie, partly a story of maturity. This film still to be named is a funny but deeply moving story of family, forgiveness, and the power to choose who we want to be. That sounds odd because it says that it's still to be named, but it has a name.
No, that sounds correct. It is a road trip movie. Yeah.
Well, that's definitely one I will seek out when it comes, when it's released. But you said it's been picked up by Amazon.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, that's good. Because although Amazon, sometimes their movies don't always get the attention that they deserve. I mean, Late Night. I'm still upset that film didn't get enough attention, but moving on. So what's next on your list?
My next one is The Go-Go's. It's the documentary about the first ever all-girl rock band who composed and played their own music. It's just a documentary about how they came together, their beginnings, their hits, their downfalls, and like any other rock band, it can be a story about rock bands without drugs, without partying, without sex and such. So this movie does not shy away from giving the details and giving the behind the scenes to some of the decisions that were made and pertaining to the songs, some of the bandmates, some of the managers, and eventually their breakup. The documentary, me personally, I had little knowledge of who the band was. Of course, I heard their hits and so, but I really didn't know who they were, where they came from, or what was their journey and trajectory. So this documentary was really good. I thought it was a very, very well done film. And eventually, I think to me, it's more of a little push to have them inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because apparently they haven't been inducted yet. But overall, it's a really great documentary that I really highly recommend for everybody else to see.
Anyone else catch it?
No, I wasn't able to see it, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, we didn't see that one.
Wow. Well,
I was watching
only Rosa Testament.
Yeah. I was watching all these documentaries because with my past, that's all I was able to get into. I couldn't get into the bigger, larger ones that they're probably gonna talk about later on. So yeah. It's a good film though. Really good.
I like watching documentaries at film festivals because I feel like you don't really get they're not really shown anywhere else, really. Mm-hmm. They rarely get a wide release in theaters, so it's nice to go and watch a documentary and learn something new, especially about something like a section of culture that you might not know really existed until you watch about it. So, who would like to give one of their recommendations?
Yeah, you know, we'll start here. I think we said we had about 5 or 6 minutes. I'm not going to really do mine in order because we are going to be making an article with, like, our actual top 10 from the entire festival. But one of the ones that I want to talk about, and it's, like I said, in no particular order, is Dinner in America. I'm going to start there because this film is awesome. Basically, if you'll indulge me. This film is about the singer in a punk rock band who's trying to escape the police after he commits arson. He meets a very naive young lady played by the wonderful Emily Skeggs, and the two have an unlikely friendship that may become more, maybe it doesn't. Maybe their attitudes change, maybe they don't. But the film has a heart of gold and balls of steel. It's an awesome film.
It was unlike anything else that they showed at Sundance, because while Sundance is centered mostly around indie filmmaking and indie filmmakers, This had a voice and a personality that was just like so, it was kind of out of left field. It was so different and it felt so much, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it.
I have a good idea.
Rebellious spirit about it.
Yeah, a lot of the films here have like a hipster vibe to Sundance. But mm-hmm. this one had an attitude of punching you right in the face. It wasn't taking any prisoners.
Yeah, I've just looked up the director and he directed The Bunny Game.
Yeah,
we talked about that. Yeah.
Very good, Adam.
So, okay, I haven't seen The Bunny Game, but I know
you're probably
about...
not going to like it.
I know about the films. Is this a completely different step for him?
It's definitely way different. It's nowhere near as explicit or as it's nowhere near as dark either. It's mostly just a comedy. It just reads as a comedy and it lands every single joke. The characters are amazing, they're hilarious, the performances are great. And it's not something you would expect from someone who did happen to direct The Bunny Game.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, there's a real rebellious spirit about it that I think that most people can relate to. And me personally, after I walked out the first time seeing it, I did something I've never done before. So I took Rosa and I took Shay and I took them to go see it. And I saw it twice in the same festival.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I wasn't even, prepared to see it. I was like, I'm just going to let Will see it. But then he came to us. He was like, oh, my God, you have to see this movie. And he kept pushing it and he kept pushing it. And I was like, okay, we'll do it. And we with the director and we ended up interviewing the director. He's a super cool dude. And we ended up seeing it and I ended up loving it too.
Yeah, I don't know, Rosa, did you love it as well?
I did. It was actually my number three, but I'm so glad you guys brought it up because I wouldn't have been able to describe it as thoroughly as you guys did. But yes, William would not shut up about it, so go and watch it. and you know what, I'm very glad he did not shut up about it because it is a film that I really enjoy myself. So, yeah.
I can be very overbearing when I need to be.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a great film. I think as far as the release date goes, I have no idea. Nobody picked it up from Sundance and someone should, because this is a film that is going to kill it when it comes out.
I definitely really want to seek it out because it sounds like my type of movie. But
that's what I like to hear.
Yeah. Oh, good. I love that you dragged Rosa to go see it. I mean,
yeah.
Did you get dragged around a lot, Rosa? Or
not dragged a lot. I didn't know what I was doing, so I was just like a little follower with them. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
Like a little duckling, just following them. Yeah.
That's good. They took you under their wing. Which is
absolutely. Yes, if we're going to keep that duck analogy alive, yes, that's pretty good.
Pun definitely intended, yes.
Good God.
So is there anything else that you would like to recommend? Or what's next on your list?
I think that another one that I'm going to let Shay take over and talk about is going to be Black Bear.
Okay, so this is more my wheelhouse. I ended up seeing Black Bear. And Black Bear is, let me look it up, but it's a new drama starring Aubrey Plaza and Christopher Abbott. Christopher Abbott had a really great year at Sundance. He was also in Possessor, which is also really good. But I wrote a whole big long review about it. But the problem is that you can't talk about it also because you can't talk about what it's about or you'll spoil the whole thing. But basically Aubrey Plaza goes to this cabin and she's a writer, dot dot dot, that's it. That's all I can say about the plot.
Nothing ever goes well, you know, when writers go to cabins to go write. I mean, like, nothing ever goes well for them and they never end up writing anything. It's always something bad starts to happen. Is it like that sort of horror vibe or
It kind of depends on who you are, honestly, because how I reacted to it, like, there are certain things about it that rang very personally to me on a bunch of different levels, but it was a really disorienting viewing experience because it's just one thing happening after another, and you're like, what is this movie really trying to say? Like, where is it going, and how does any of this make any sense or whatever? And it was just such an incredible viewing experience. It was one of those things where it's just like, I hate this movie so much because it's doing every single thing wrong. And then it turns it on you. It's a very smart movie. And it's just very well done. And yeah, it's just a very smart movie. I think that's all I can really say about it.
Well, I love Aubrey Plaza. I think she's just amazing. I loved her in Parks and Rec. So it's great to... It's great to see anything with her in, then I'm invested in that film, regardless of what it's about.
I think she elevates her game too above even where she was in Ingrid Goes West.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I would say that this is probably her best performance that I've ever seen her do, and I watch everything with Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, honestly.
Because I literally love her.
She gives such raw performance, and it's I mean, she has that charisma that only she can really pull off, you know, sardonism and just, you know, rolling her eyes all the time, but at the same time she pulls off such a raw performance, and it's I don't know, it's just so fascinating to see. It's mind-blowing. It was mind-blowing when I came out of the theater. Rosa was also there. I was like walking around in a daze, and she was like, Shay, and I just walked by her, and I'm still like with my head thinking about the movie. She's like, "Hey," she's like, "Are you boring me?"
Yeah, she was not disturbed, but she was in this like emotional, I don't know, she was like encapsulated within her own emotions. And I'm sitting in the lobby of a hotel, and she's walking right towards me, and I'm like, all right, she's gonna come and tell me. And she just turns and just goes away. I'm like, okay. Oh, are you seriously ignoring me? She's like, no, I just watched the movie. And she, same thing, she couldn't give me any details about it. But eventually I ended up watching it. And yeah, it's a movie you can't really talk about much. All I can say is that, yes, Aubrey Plaza gives a powerhouse performance in this movie. And you need to watch the entire film in its whole entirety to understand what's going on in the movie. But yeah, definitely. It was very impossible.
Literally.
To say. She ignored me.
Yeah, you have to watch this thing all the way down to the last frame. It's one of those films.
Yeah.
And has it been picked up by anyone at all?
No.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Oh, how am I supposed to see these films that you keep talking about if they're not being picked up?
That's not my responsibility.
You hyped it up so much.
It feels like an A24 movie is what it feels like.
I think A24 would be the perfect place for that to go. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay. If they're listening,
hopefully this podcast will help get it picked up or something.
Yeah. We'll make it work. We'll start a campaign going.
Yes.
Tell Aubrey, if you're listening to this, I love you.
Me too. She's literally my spirit animal.
I love you so much.
Okay, well, moving on, before this gets a little bit creepy. No, I'm joking. Is there a Rosa, back over to you, I guess. What's sort of next on your list?
Okay. My next one is another documentary, which was the first film I watched and the first review I did for In Their League. It's Mucho Mucho Amor, the documentary following the iconic Puerto Rican astrologer Walter Mercado. As a Latina, I grew up watching him on television. He was very prevalent in our household, and he's pretty much part of our culture as well. The moment I heard that there was going to be a documentary about him, this film became one of my most anticipated at the festival. And I was lucky enough to get a ticket to the premiere, where it followed by a Q&A with the directors and everybody who helped make the documentary. So pretty much it just follows Walter Mercado The movie showcases his childhood all the way up to they were doing like a 50 year commemoration celebration of his career and such. And it's a movie told through his family, his friends, journalists, famous admirers of him, including Lin-Manuel Miranda was in there too in the documentary. And it's a movie, perhaps the film that made me sob the most. That was a sobbing mess towards the end of this documentary. It was just nostalgic to me. It just took me back to, you know, that scene in Ratatouille when the food critic like eats the food and he's taken back to his childhood. It happened the same. It was the exact same thing. And I was just a sobbing mess after this film was done. The lady sitting next to me, I guess she felt bad for me because she asked me if I grew up watching him and such. And I said, yeah, I grew up watching him and he was very important. And she just gave me a hug and she's like, okay, aww, that's fine. And I was like, oh. But this one did get picked up by Netflix and it should be streaming in the summer. But it is important to us for the Latinx community, but it's also a icon that deserves to be known because he wasn't only prevalent for us, but everything he did in his career, from never admitting his sexuality and everything he did, not only, like I said, for the Latinx community, but as a person. He was just a person that would always, wherever he would go, I would take it a step further and say that he was more popular and more loved than the Pope was in our community. So he was just one of those people that just gave so much love, and that was his message, love, you know. And every time he would do his sequences at the TV, he would always end it with the title of the film, Mucho Mucho Amor, like he wishes you the best, lot of peace, but most importantly with a lot of love. So it's definitely a documentary that's very personal to me, but a movie that deserves to be seen for just to know who Walter Mercado was and what he did for our community and such.
Uh-huh. You wrote such a beautiful review.
I think I went overboard with this.
No, you didn't. You wrote such a beautiful review for the site, and reading it, I was just right. Like, wow, I need to watch this film. You really, yeah. Like, you sold that movie to me. I mean, it was such a beautiful piece. And I'm glad that was the first film that you saw at the festival.
Yeah, I think that was perhaps the best way to start the festival. Mm-hmm. And it just made this experience much more memorable. Yeah.
Did anyone else catch it at all?
Oh, hell yeah, I did. Anyways, it's an incredible story. It's for a man so bombastic, it had such a humility to it. Because if anybody doesn't know, one of the things that Mercado was famous for were his flashy robes, his giant rings, his flamboyancy in his delivery of your daily horoscope. No matter what you were, mm-hmm. Capricornio or Scorpio, whatever, he was there for you. And he's on your TV every day. Your grandma's sitting there on the edge of her seat waiting to see what he says. And this movie is beautiful. It's just, it's so damn beautiful. There's very few documentaries that can get me close to tearing up. I think the only one that ever has made me cry is It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Or Won't You Be My Neighbor? And this one got very, very close. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I second Rosa's opinion that in June, when it's streaming on Netflix, you guys need to check it out.
And do you think it's got a chance of making it, you know, to next year's awards season as an Oscar contender at all? Or?
No, it's not the kind of movie that they're going to nominate.
That's the thing, don't they? I'm still not over the Won't You Be My Neighbor snub, and that's been like 2 years now.
Well, that's the thing. That and Three Identical Strangers both came out that year, and they were both better than anything else that was nominated for the documentary category. So.
Yeah. It sounds like a really good documentary, and I love, and I don't know why it is, but I love a documentary that makes me cry.
That makes one of us.
I was sobbing in this one, so yeah, I love to cry.
Same.
Yeah, well, if you're moved to that capacity of like literally bringing tears to your eyes, the movie's doing its job. It's telling a story, but at the same time, it's moving you. It's affecting you in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, absolutely.
Nothing you can do better than have an emotional impact on someone. So.
Yeah, nothing really hits long more than a real life true story, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, was there any other documentaries that anyone caught that they want to sort of recommend? I mean, my thing is documentaries. I absolutely love them. So.
Should I talk about Into the Deep or Feels Good Man, Will?
Let's start with Feels Good Man since I saw
Okay. So Feels Good Man, I think was, as far as I saw, the best documentary at Sundance. But then again, I also didn't see Boy State, which was it was bought out by A24. But Feels Good Man, I don't know if anyone's so bought good. That. It is so freaking good. If you have an interest in just keeping up with like the history of our culture as it is now, internet culture, like weird stuff like memes and I don't know, if you watch the news and then you see weird groups like the alt-right on there, and then you see this weird frog. Some people think he's like really weird iteration of the Grinch. But basically Feels Good Man is about this comic artist, Matt Fury, and he did this comic book called Boys Club. And in Boys Club, one of the characters was Pepe the Frog. And it was this innocent little thing where it was just talking about like post-college life, and I don't know, it was just a really cute, really innocent thing. Matt Fury ended up wanting to do like children's books and stuff. But because Pepe the Frog himself is kind of weird looking, I don't know if you guys are like familiar with it, because it's definitely something that is kind of a part of American culture at this point, and especially internet American culture. But Pepe ended up becoming a meme on 4chan, where he became kind of this icon for the beta male population, quote unquote, the beta male community. And he just became kind of this icon representing people living in their basements and trolls. And of this one random character became eventually like an alt-right symbol, and a symbol for, you know, Nazis and white supremacy and all that, and how the creator tries to take that back into his own hands. So the documentary itself, it's so creative. There are these really wonderful, really heartfelt, like little animated segments that they put into it. It's hilarious. It goes over meme culture, so you get to see kind of how Pepe is used in memes, and that's pretty funny to watch, but at the same time it's really heartbreaking to see things kind of spinning out of control for this guy. But yeah, it's really interesting, and it was such a hoot to watch, so I would highly recommend it for just anyone looking for a good time, and anyone who I don't know, just kind of wants to observe this kind of thing going on. It's kind of a weird 21st century phenomenon. It's a lot.
I'm just trying. I just recalling as I try to explain what a meme was to my granddad. It did not go down well.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Bless him. That sounds like a really fascinating documentary. I love that sort of stuff that deconstructs us, like culture, and what's going on in our society. And I think like, especially seeing how the last few years have really seen influx of memes taken on a different form. This definitely sounds like a documentary I want to seek out.
Will and, was also saying he saw it, and I know he enjoyed it as well. So overall, just a very, very kind of pleasant, very enjoyable documentary.
And what was the other documentary that you mentioned?
So the other documentary, which is actually going to be on Netflix, is this true crime documentary, which I keep calling the new The Jinx, with I think his name is Fred Durst. But it's going to be on Netflix, and it's about this filmmaker, Emma Sullivan, who approaches this rogue engineer, this Danish guy named Peter Madsen, and his team of interns who are trying to build their own rocket. And they've already built their own submarine. And then in the middle of filming this documentary, Peter Madsen ends up being arrested for manslaughter. It's just about that and how they kind of realize more and more the traits of psychopathy or sociopathy within this guy, and how they kind of deal with the aftermath of and the reality of him having done the things that he did. It's a really crazy documentary, and I don't want to say too much about it, but by the end of it, I saw a press and industry screening later on in the festival, so there weren't as many people there. But the people who were there, you could very audibly hear them, like, muttering under their breath and being like, what the heck? And like, oh, God, how did that happen? How did they not see that beforehand? And the footage itself was actually used against him. It was used as evidence because there were things in the footage that actually proved what he ended up doing to the journalist who he ended up murdering. And it's just a crazy documentary. By the end of it, my hands were on my head and my mouth was hanging. And I was like, what just happened? So I highly recommend it. It's a crazy documentary.
You had me sold and you said the words true crime. oh, that sounds good. That sounds really good. Yeah. Is there anything else that anyone wants to recommend at all?
Okay, documentary or any films in general?
Any films in general.
Okay. So, of course, I leave my best for last, and it's a movie that I said it's my favorite of the festival. I have not shut up about it since I watched it, and sorry, Shay, because you haven't stopped listening to me raving about this, but it's the 40-year-old version. It's a movie that, oh man, it just hit me on every single level that it could possibly have done. This film is directed, produced, it's written, and it's brilliantly acted by the talented Rada Blank. She actually won the best director at the Sundance. And it's a name, Rada Blank. It's somebody who will be very well known within the first, I would say probably by the end of this year. This film is about a struggling artist who is having difficulties getting her play produced. She finds herself in a position where she must decide to either compromise with a white male-dominated industry or risk the possibility of never having her work known. I don't want to give out too much because I just wrote a review for it. So, and also, I just want you guys to be just surprised by the movie. But it gives us a glimpse of what a woman experiences on a personal and professional level. And what hooked me more was that it was told from a female lens. And it was just the movie that, because Rada in the movie, she's grieving the loss of her mother. And that just hit me straight to the heart. There's a scene where I nearly shed a tear. I'm pretty sure you guys will know what it is because it did get bought off on Netflix. So yes, it will be showing on Netflix. I don't know when though, but it did get bought off on them. And it's just a movie that it could not come out at a better time because everything she goes through, because she's a woman of color, and everything she goes through to get her play done and everything she has to change in the play and things that just, it's just one form of gatekeeping for many storytellers that just want to tell different stories and they want to step outside the box from the stereotypical stories about people of color. And it's just a movie that I just love. I don't even know what else to say because it's just a movie that I just adore and loved. And definitely watch it when it comes out on Netflix.
Yeah, fantastic movie. Really hilarious, too.
Oh, yes. It's hilarious.
It scored every single laugh. And Radha herself, like, you could really see her personality shine through the whole thing because it's just so down to earth. And there's so much humor in it. And there's so much love in it. And it feels really relatable as far as representing, you know, a woman who's aging and a woman who's trying to survive and the environment she's in. She's trying to put out good work, but at the same time, like, her play is about gentrification, and the play itself, while she's trying to get it produced, is being gentrified. And just the whole irony of social issues being commercialized and stuff by people like that. It was such a real story, and it was so much fun to watch.
It sounds really interesting. Like, I love like how I've read your review, Rosa, and that will be going up soon. So I know, like, you just write with such a wonderful way that you just have such a energy to your writing, and you manage to just convey so much. So I'm very, like, interested and hyped for this film. Like, I'm hyped for all of these movies that everybody's been discussing. And I wish I'd gone to
Wait
Sundance.
Wait till you start to hear what I got next.
Oh, okay. But, yeah.
To quote Monty Python, it's time for something completely different.
Okay, let's go there then. Let's go there. What's next then?
We're taking a trip to the California desert with Palm Springs.
Oh, yay!
Ooh. And so this one is a romantic comedy, which is pretty much my wheelhouse, starring Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti are the two main characters. Essentially, I'm not going to give too much away of the plot, but this takes place at a weekend wedding in Palm Springs. We meet Niles. He's kind of a slacker of the family, and he meets the sister of the bride, played by Kristen Milioti, and the two have an adventure that I'm not going to give any details about. Just know this is one of the funniest films that I've seen in a long time. It's going to be the first great romantic comedy of this decade, and it just broke the record for acquisitions at the festival.
It sounds interesting. I'm not a huge romantic comedy like fan, so what's different about this movie?
The entire narrative structure shouldn't work
either. It shouldn't work, but it does. I'm with you. I'm not like Will. I don't chase after romantic comedies whenever I hear what's coming out. But this is legitimately funny. It's got so much spunk to it, and it's kind of off the wall. It's kind of odd as far as the story goes. Which obviously we can't talk about it because it'll spoil it, but it's just so well performed, and all the jokes land, and it's more of a comedy than it is like your usual romantic comedy, but it's still, you know, it still pulls at the heartstrings. It still managed to get to me. So it's pretty effective.
Yeah. This one was acquired by Hulu and Neon. And it was acquired for $17,500,000. And of course, 69 cents so that it could break the record previously set by I don't remember the name of the movie that it broke the record for, but it came out in 2017. Birth of a Nation. That's
Birth of a Nation.
I love the fact that it's the 69 cents.
Of course it is. It's Andy Samberg, right? Yeah, The Lonely Island were actually producers on this as well. And it was one, if you listen to our podcast, our first issue of our podcast, which is out now, it was one that I had circled even before going to Park City as one that I wanted to see, and I was left not disappointed at all.
I love Andy Samberg. I think he's great. So this sounds, I'm intrigued. I hope I'll have to check out a trailer and see what I like. But it does sound interesting. Anything else that anyone wants to recommend?
Definitely Horse Girl. I don't know if it's come out on Netflix yet. You said you saw it, Bianca?
Yeah, I believe it has come out on Netflix now.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I just wrote a review on it, so I won't say too much. But basically, Alison Brie is such a gem in it, and it's I don't want to swear, but you know, the work it's mind bending. It's a trip. It's a really trippy movie, but it's really cool and it's really charming. John Reynolds is also in it, and he's always charming. It's a mind basically. Yeah, I came out of the movie theater and I was just like,
that's
wow,
one.
That was really yeah. That's two. But yeah, it was just a lot of fun to watch. It's definitely not going to be everyone's cup of tea because it's so weird. What's his name? Jeff Baena. That's his name, right? The guy who directed Life After Beth also directed this.
Yes.
Expect this to be way weirder than Life After Beth. But yeah, it was definitely worth it for me.
I've seen this today and I am writing a review as well. And I have a lot that to cover. There's a lot going on in a movie and it's very interesting. And yeah, you can't really spoil it. But when it finished, I almost was like, I need to watch this again. I feel like it's one of those films that you need to keep watching to try and get every little, I don't know, little reference or rewatch it and try and see. There's so many layers to this film.
Yeah, definitely. It's almost kind of like psychological. You could probably say it's like a psychological comedy drama. It's a genre bending amongst other things. But yeah, definitely recommend this.
Yeah, it starts off like a straightforward indie sort of comedy, like down, like deadbeat and everything, and then all of a sudden it goes like, well, in a completely different direction.
Yeah, definitely, it's very unexpected, and that's what I expect from movies, is to surprise me.
Yeah, definitely. So let's wrap this up. Is there anything that anyone wants to recommend just before we sort of say goodbye? Yes, go ahead.
The perfect way to end this is with the Grand Jury Prize drama winning Minari. So a little bit about Minari. It won the Grand Jury Prize, which is the biggest prize of the festival. It's about a Korean family who immigrates from California to Arkansas. Stephen Ewan plays the father, and the reason they're moving to Arkansas is so that he can grow vegetables, namely Korean vegetables such as cabbage, bok choy, etc., to be sold and to live the American dream. This film is so beautiful. And when I say that, it's just, it's a beautiful portrait of the American family as told through the lens of a Korean experience. Not something we see often, not something I think we see ever. A24 picked this one up, and I believe Lee Isaac Chung is the director of this one, and he handles everything with such a delicacy, such a nuance that when you leave the theater, you may not leave without shedding a few tears, honestly.
Wow, that sounds brilliant. I love it. Anyone else catch it at all?
No. Not me.
I did see it. And yeah, I agree with everything William is saying. It's a movie that will move you. It's beautifully done, and I can't see why it won the prize it did, and I can see why it's on top of so many people's lists. It's definitely a movie to look out for. Yeah.
I will tell you this right now. Stephen Ewan is going to be in the competition this time next year for Best Actor in a Dramatic Role. And you can quote me on that. You can time stamp it, because A24 is going to push this man to the moon.
Do you want to bet? Do you want to put money on that?
Yeah, let's put money on that, because you know A24 is going to do everything they can to get at least one of their movies a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they do.
Well,
how do you think Mahershala Ali won Supporting Actor? It wasn't because Moonlight's all that good, which I personally don't think it's that good, but he was good enough in it to where they could push him for it. Sorry, I'm making hot takes today.
Well, we'll just have to see. We'll have to have you back on for in a year's time, and then see if that's the case. We'll do a follow up podcast. That sounds like a good plan.
That sounds like a plan to me. When the day those Oscar nominations come out, I'll be right here shouting that bit.
With your, so I now pitch you like Scrooge McDuck. You're surrounded by money that you won from this bet.
Accumulated from this bet, yeah. And it will be all coins too. Just swimming in pennies.
Nice.
I think that's the best film to end on, because it was truly fantastic.
Wow, that's good. Wow. So Sundance sounds amazing. Rosa, will you be going back?
I would love to go back. I'm hoping. If they give me press credentials again, if I can get in there, yes, I would love to go back. Yes, I hope so.
Well, we expect you to be going back every year from now on, in their own league. So, you know.
I commit to it, yes.
Okay, that's perfect. Right. Where can we find our guests then? Where can we find you guys on Twitterverse?
Well, that's easy. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything at Film Snob Reviews. Make sure you check out our website, filmsnobreviews.com, for everything that we talked about today. There's reviews up for it. Just do us that favor and check that out when you get a chance. We'd appreciate that. Shay, take the floor.
What he said. Yeah. I mean,
I'm a really good self-marketer.
His film snobs is my film snobs. So you can find all my work there. I'm also going to try and boot up my Twitter finally, so that way I can get more business going, because that's what film people do, apparently. So you can find me at Shay Simone. Shay is spelled like chai, like the tea, because I have to be confusing and extra like that. You can also find me on Instagram at redshoes99. Follow me for a good time. Yeah.
Awesome. Make sure to do that, everyone. And also, Rosa, you've just made over 5,000 Twitter followers.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yay.
The super famous Rosa Rodriguez.
Yeah, I am not that I'm jealous or counting or anything.
No.
That makes one of us. I'm jealous.
I mean, you guys, you know where to find me. I'm at Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Rosa's Reviews. My work can also be found in their own league. So yeah, make sure to follow us also on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, and go check out our site in their own league, .com. Where I will still continue to be posting on Sundance reviews. I'm still working towards them. And yeah, again, thank you so much, B, for everything. And I wouldn't be able to do all this without your support. So thank you very much.
Oh, well, I just want to say thank you to both our guests and yourself for joining me today. And as always, please give us a like over if you've whatever podcast app you're listening to. Make sure to share this episode, and show your support by becoming a patron as well. We really do appreciate it, because all the money that we sort of make will be going towards sending our writers to film festivals, and we've got some film festivals coming up very shortly. Berlin, where me and Kaz will be going. We've got Glasgow, which is also Kaz, and Callum will be attending, and perhaps some future festivals, maybe, Rosa? Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I applied, keeping my fingers crossed for South by Southwest. We'll see.
Yeah, watch this space. Well, as always, thank you so much for listening to the In Their Own League podcast, and take care, guys. We'll catch up with you next time.